The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And great to have you back. And it's always fun, always exciting to welcome Jimbo Fisher to the program. But the irony of today, as news is breaking around the state of Texas and around the college football in relation to perhaps speculation that Texas and OU want in the SEC. First of all, Coach, thanks for being here. I seem to remember a couple of years ago, A&M getting out of all this controversy to come over here. Your reaction to what you've heard, and where do you think all this is going?
Yeah, it's the first time I heard it. So, I mean, it's the best league in ball, and I'm sure they would like to be here. But, you know, that's something Coach Commissioner Sankey and them got to gauge and see if that's something that the SEC would want to do. But, you know, that's still hard to say because you still got some other conferences and other teams in that league that you're going to leave a lot of teams out if you leave those two coming in. So, you know, that'll be something for someone bigger than me to decide. I'm just glad we're in it and very happy we're in the SEC.
And I want to talk college football with you in the season, but you know, A&M has made such inroads, with finishing fourth in the country last year, and the success that they have had obviously has trickled down and been noticed by others. But do you, from a personal standpoint, what would it mean if you were in the same league with the University of Texas?
Well, kind of like it always was, like it was years ago, which is, you know, we have another one of your great rivalries. But, you know, again, we'll have to wait and see where we're at right now. And like I said, we're very happy where we're at. I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and, you know, being the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that.
Coach, let's talk about what is expected, regardless of who comes in the league in a couple of years.
I'll say this, though. Be careful what you ask for when you jump on this league.
Yeah, but sometimes to follow up on that, when you're not succeeding, if you're not succeeding doing what you're doing, getting in the SEC probably isn't going to make it any easier.
It's definitely not going to make it any easier, I promise you that.
So it's not been easy for anyone, but you found a way to be relevant in a very short period of time, and that's what the university hope for.
Yes.
And they're getting it with a major deliverables by your program. Let's talk about where you are right now. You're on the cusp, it seems like, of knocking that door down. And not that you weren't last year, but you're pretty close.
We are, and that's the next step you have to take. And you have to go to that elite air, and as I say, and you got to create those habits. And, you know, people talk about the expectations and the pressures. The pressures and expectations don't bother you if you create the right culture and you create the right habits daily and you're willing to mentally and physically engage yourself in the preparation to be able to be there. And I think that's what we have to do, because there's going to be big games, important games coming up. And like when we were at Florida State, we were able to play big games and handle our rivalries and handle things like that because they weren't big games. We played everybody that way. Our opponent shouldn't dictate just by playing in those elite teams. Every team in this league can beat you, and you have to play at a high level each and every week. And we have to get to that standard and learn that there's another percentage or two that we have to get to and be able to deal with that with the standards in which we have and the preparation in which we go about.
And everyone talks about a single game on your schedule, and I know that probably you understand it.
Yeah. I do. You we're 9-1. That's the one that got us.
Yeah.
but they're the standard of the league. And when I say the other day, like I said, the comment that, you know, we want to play them and beat them while they're there, we do. They're the standard. And what good teams do, they raise everybody else's standard. You have to meet it or they run over you. And we have to learn to push to that standard. But we can't just play that standard when we play Alabama. We have to play it against Kent State. We have to play it against Colorado. We have to play it against Arkansas. We have to play it against New Mexico. We have to play it against Mississippi State, LSU, Auburn, because everybody in this league will beat you if you don't. But you have to push yourself to a standard, and who you play as an opponent shouldn't matter to you. You have to play. The standard is a standard when you're talking about excellence, and that's what we're learning to do, and hopefully we will. So when we do come to those games, we can play those games very well.
When you made that comment, and clearly it was made in jest at a touchdown club, and it gave those. By the way, I want to thank you. It was a really sleepy week, and
you got
us really excited. But that's what your fans want to hear, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here as a coach to do. We're here to win and be successful. And it's out of a compliment to them, because they're the standard, and that's who you have to go beat, and that's how you have to play. I have the utmost respect for them. I have no fear. I mean, that's a different animal. And you have to play at that level, and you have to be at that level. You have to go at that level, and they've upped that standard. That's where we have to be, and that's the way we feel and the way we think.
Talking to Coach Jimbo Fisher about so many things, Coach, I would like to change gears for a second. I suspect you've heard the news today about your former boss at Florida State, Bobby Bowden, and I would hate not to ask you to talk about him for a moment.
I don't know if anybody's ever done it with the class and dignity on the sideline that Bobby Bowden has. I think he arguably is the greatest coach of all time. He's one of them. But the class, the dignity, and the way he affected the people he coached with, the way he affected the people he coached as players, and the impact he had on college football overall for such a long period of time is amazing. And people forget, you know, everybody associates me with Nick, and which is true. But I was with the Bowdens a long time before that. I mean, when I started with Terry back in 1984, I used to go to Bobby's house and stay all night and learn and go to watch practice, sit in a meeting and listen to him coach. They would take me to bowl games, put me in a hotel. I would stay and watch him organize staff meetings. I would sit with a headset on in the press box and listen to him call games and listen to when I first became a coordinator at Sanford back at 23 years old and how you would call a game, how you'd set up a game plan. And what that man meant to me and his family is irreplaceable. And there's no price tag you can ever put on it. And the love and dignity I have for them, and I'm still very close with Terry, Jeff, talked to Tommy occasionally. I talked to Coach Bowden less than a month ago. He had told me, he said, you know, buddy, I feel good. And he of course, he said, I got the Houston paper. I keep up with you every day. I know you're doing good. He got the paper coming there, and he keeps up. And, he talks about, you know, we were talking about what we're doing. He knew all about us. He followed us, and he and I were very close. But he said, you know, I said, how you feel, Coach? He said, you know, I don't feel bad. I just feel tired, like I don't have energy. And that was less than a month ago. And then the diagnosis comes up that he has something wrong. But I can't. And then the way our lives are intertwined, I mean, that he played at Sanford, I played at Sanford. He was a head coach at Florida State. I was a head coach at Florida State. He played quarterback and made All-American at Sanford. I made All-American quarterback at Sanford. I mean, there were so many. As you go back, and Terry and I were talking about this just the other day. He came down to our camp and was looking at some players, and we were having that discussion and just how intertwined we all were and didn't even realize it at the time, how it just – God has a funny way. But what Bobby Bowden meant to me and – He's second to none. I have the utmost respect of any person I've ever been around, and my heart goes out to him and his family, and which hopefully I'm gonna get a chance to talk with him tomorrow.
Yeah, I wanted to say something somewhat lighter. I had a chance to interview Terry not long ago, and I bring this up because ESPN had a list. You may not have seen it because I know you've been out of the country, where they ranked the best coaches as players.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Harbaugh was number one.
I gotcha.
And they had you really somewhere in the middle, which brings me to this point. We were interviewing Terry Bowden, Bobby's son, and he said, and you don't get credit. He said, you're the best quarterback he's ever coached.
Wow.
And he's coached a lot of really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, that was a great compliment. I mean, we had some great years. I mean, every year we played, I think we played together 2 years at Sanford. He went to Akron, and we come back. I mean, 2 years at Salem. Right. Together, and then he went to Akron with Jerry Faust and came back to Sanford, and I transferred back there with him. And I think every year we played, we led the nation in offense. I mean, we had great offensive people, and I was fortunate to be in that system. And we won a lot of games, be able to turn a lot of programs around and the culture. And Terry was – people don't realize how good a coaching job he did. I mean, you go back to what he did at Auburn in 93 and won 20 games in a row and how good a coach he was and how smart he was. But we won some great things, and I didn't know he said that, but that's a
tremendous
compliment.
He
kind of caught me off guard.
He was very sincere, and he went into great detail. He's at
Louisiana Monroe.
Monroe, and he went into great detail about I said, so tell us about it. I mean, even though I remember, I lived here when you played quarterback,
yeah.
So I knew a little bit more. Before you go, and it is a serious news day to say the least. But I do want to talk about what you've been doing lately because I know every coach I've spoken to, their June was terrible. I had a recruit. I mean, good and bad. There's
it was
no
a good,
time.
Terrible.
And you did something I think is really unique. Your family. You just didn't go down to the beach. You didn't go down to the lake. I mean, you went as far away as you can get.
We went on a safari in Africa and Tanzania, wild Africa, and stayed out in tents. And I mean, they were nice tents. Now, they wasn't like tent tents, but it was nice tents. But we were 2 hours from the closest city by plane. And I mean, rural, I had my family with me, my wife and kid and stepkids, stepchildren. And was on a little hunting safari and did things there. But just the ability to appreciate nature, appreciate culture, appreciate different countries, learn new people, languages, how people react, and, you know, things about America that sometimes we take for granted you don't have over there, but the other things you learn over there that they have, they're amazing. And to me, I'm an outdoors person. And to be able to see the animals in their element and completely wild, whether it was zebras, whether it was giraffes, whether it was leopards, whether it was lions, whether it was Cape Buffalo. I mean, we saw it all. And I'm going to tell you, seeing, it's not so much fun when stuff hunts you back. It's a little bit different. But just the respect you see for those animals and what they do and how they do it, it was an amazing experience.
I mean, coaches have to get away from it, but can you – I mean, are you – texting recruits over there? How do you do it?
We had internet at night and we could get the internet. So I was texting all of our guys. I would hit our guys. If we had a certain period of time, we were 8 hours ahead, so I'd have to match it up or I'd leave Texas for them. So I was calling and texting the whole time. Yes, I was. Hey, recruiting still had to go on.
Yeah, even in Tanzania. Coach, great to see you.
Great to be with you too, Paul. Thank you very much.
Wonderful conversation, especially about Coach Bowden with Jimbo Fisher. We will take a break and we'll talk to Ross Bjork, who is the athletic director at Texas A&M, about these reports that there could be some company in the SEC from that state. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back at SEC Media Days on a day that began many hours ago with the arrival of Vanderbilt in Alabama and this afternoon Mississippi State and Texas A&M. It seemed like just a normal Wednesday at Media Days until a story came out of Texas that said that the University of Texas and Oklahoma have inquired about joining the Southeastern Conference. So we just got through chatting about that with Jimbo Fisher, the head coach. Ross Bjork is here as well, the athletic director. Ross, thanks for being here, and tell us what you know about this and what you think.
Yeah. Well, Paul, as we were chatting off air a little bit, I came here to support our players, DeMarvin and Kenyon and Coach Fisher, and just hadn't seen the media in a while, and I thought it'd be good to just get out and about in the SEC footprint and kind of catch up with a lot of people in the industry. And I walk in, and pretty much the news was hitting as we were walking in the hotel. And so I was caught off guard, just like you were, and just like a lot of people here in Hoover were caught off guard. And, you know, our position is, look, there's a reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012, is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us, and we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit. But from our perspective, we love being in the SEC. We love being the only program in the state of Texas, and we're going to maintain that position. But we're also going to make sure that we are a leader in college athletics, and we'll see what the future holds.
You've been an athletic director at two different schools in the SEC, so you sat in these rooms for a long time.
Right.
And it is, for the most part, a collegial group of athletic directors and presidents, headed by Commissioner Sankey. I don't think that you have a good answer for this, because I've seen you making the rounds here, but have you had a chance to talk to anyone that is in a position to know more?
I haven't. I've been running around. My phone obviously has been buzzing, calls from lots of people, calls from athletic directors around the country, calls from other ADs within the SEC. Commissioner Sankey and I, we'll have a chance to catch up at some point in time. But again, I think all of this sort of hit at this time for whatever reason, and I think we were all caught off guard about it. So there's going to be a lot of catching up, I think, when we head to the airport and get back tonight to College Station. And obviously, again, I think this proves a point, though. The most transformative time in college athletics is upon us. Everybody said it. Commissioner said it on Monday. We're all saying it. This is another example that there's going to be an evolution. Again, we love our position with where we are in the SEC in the state of Texas. We want to maintain that. But what does the future hold? And none of us have that answer. We can't predict that. But it just proves the point that it's evolving and it's changing rapidly in college athletics.
Ross, you live there, and I've just visited occasionally, but it seems like at one time the Texas A&M rivalry was intense, the game every year on Thanksgiving. We all know that. But just anecdotally visiting and talking to people, it just doesn't seem like it's been that important, because A&M has done so well and they have not.
Right.
Which answers the question about probably why they want to get in. But, can you two coexist? I mean, it's a big state, but it's also part of the reason you got in here.
Right. That's exactly right. I think it goes back to the governance structure at that time within the Big 12. A lot of emphasis on the University of Texas. And look, I worked at the University of Missouri, so I know that dynamic. And frankly, A&M was ready for a new place. And we found it. The university found it. The leaders at that time made the right decision. It's a perfect fit. And so people ask about scheduling the game. And my answer is, look, they've moved on and we've moved on. And so I think that's the path that we've been going down, and that's the path we want to continue. So again, there's an evolution, what that looks like. But that path of being standalone in the state of Texas, in the SEC, that's been positive for us. And that momentum, we want to keep that momentum going.
And I know these are questions that are, I mean, you're the vice chancellor, so you're at a fairly high level. I'm not trying to say anything else. But, I mean, these are big room decisions, are they not?
That's right. Presidential level. Board of Regents level type decisions. There's no doubt about that. And the commissioner, he works with us athletic directors, but obviously he reports to the presidents. The presidents are the ones who vote on any of these type of dynamics. And so, yeah, I don't want to say it's above my pay grade per se, but there's a lot of layers to these type of big level decisions.
Bigger than even that. It's hard to imagine right now if you live in Texas or you're in this footprint, right, that anything could be. But it what does it say that so much is happening at the same time with what President Emmert said the other day, what is happening literally as we talk at media days from various commissioners, as you know. Where are we in college football, in college athletics?
Yeah, I think it speaks to a lot of different things. I think one is, look, we're all guilty of this because we're a member of the NCAA, but I think the NCAA, the lack of vision, the lack of planning, sort of being reactive to a lot of things has led us to a place where all of these things are sort of combusting at the same time. And so, again, that's why being in the SEC is so powerful. We can be a leader in all these changes. But I think it's gone back to the last 5 to 7 years. Cost of attendance, that came together really not in a great, efficient manner. And we've survived. Then you had name, image, likeness that started. I think we could have solved this a couple years ago and got to a better place nationally. So I think it's just been that lack of vision, planning, reactive lawsuits. Again, it's been combustible, and now things are kind of chipping away, and we need to fix it, and we need to get things back on the table that are meaningful about college athletics.
It seems like there are just so many unfinished issues from the CFP to television contracts to now this. And on top of that, you know, where the NCAA fits, it's hard to do your daily job. I mean, these are big time athletic departments you run, but trying to put all this together at the same time, and you're involved in how does it work? Yeah.
You know what? We may need two or three athletic directors in terms of one to handle the day to day stuff, and let's continue to have sports at a high level and grow our programs and manage the budget, and then you've got capital projects and fundraising initiatives, and then oh by the way, there's this whole governance legal front that has really just exploded the last couple of years that you have to stay on top of. And so you got to have great people that can run the day-to-day. We're blessed at A&M. We have a great staff. But you're right, though. These issues are so complex that there's not a manual. There's not a grad school program that teaches you all of these things. You have to trust your instincts, trust the leadership in the SEC, work with your president, work with your boards. And you just got to make the best decisions with whatever you know at that time. And that's how I think we have to lead moving forward.
We'll leave it there, but I don't think the subjects are going to be left for long. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Paul.
Incredibly busy day.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Ross Bjork joining us right here. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go before we are done this afternoon, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Busy day, and we're delighted to be joined by Coach Mike Leach of Mississippi State. Coach, we missed you last year at Media Days, but we're really happy to see you. How are you?
Pretty good. This is kind of a quick, efficient media day, so I think it's gone well.
You've done a few in a few different leagues. Are there any differences?
Yeah, there is, actually. Okay, so the Pac-12 took 2.5 days, and now you didn't have to dress up, so you didn't have to. You just wore the khakis and the coaching shirt, and then they'd drop you off in Bristol, and you'd find your own way home. So you can imagine how many flights in the middle of the night are going from Bristol to Pullman, Washington, and then when I was in the Big 12. They did it kind of like this, you'd have your half a day and then they'd circulate you around. Everybody's all dressed up in the coat and the tie and the more annoying guys, they'd have, of course, a suit, yeah.
Kind of like the one you have on right now.
Well, I don't have the vest, you see. Okay. And I don't have any squirrely cufflinks or tie bars or doodads, because I don't want anybody to have any illusions that I plan to stay in this thing any longer than I have to. As a matter of fact, the second this interview's over, this is coming off.
It comes right off.
You bet.
when those lights go.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you like to strangle the guy that invented ties? I mean, are you kidding me?
There are a few guys I would like to strangle, but yeah.
Well, they're just coming. Yeah. What am I doing? All right. But yours looks good on you, though.
Thank you. Do you have many more? Is that the only tie you have?
Well, this one's got a really cool bulldog on it, I must say. If you're going to wear a tie, this is the kind you want to have. But, I've got a few. I've had, now this one's a very fine tie from George Sherman in Starkville, Mississippi. But... I've had pretty good luck at kind of secondhand stores getting ties, because then you can get those really skinny ones that that don't leave much of a lump around your neck,
Not that anyone cares. I am a huge fan of skinny ties, and I have a hard time finding them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Go to those secondhand stores.
Okay, I will.
I mean, these jokers right here where – you know, they have to get close to figure out if you even knotted that sucker up. But the thing is you cover the technicality of wearing a tie. So you got them right where you want them, other than the fact you have to have a tie on.
Coach, I've known you a while, and I've always found you incredibly entertaining. We just, for those who don't know, we did some radio shows in the past together and had a blast because you were irreverent, you're different. But you're in this, you've been in big leagues, but you're now in this big SEC where everything is a little different. How has it gone for you?
You know, I guess it's very similar. Like when I was at the University of Kentucky for 2 years, and it's very similar to that now. You know, some of the, you know, the power base of the leagues maybe shifted here and there a little bit, but you know, just a great league. One thing I would say, and leagues are more similar than they are different.
Okay.
You know, everybody wants their league to be so much different. The leagues are more similar than they are different because, you know, everybody's got good players, good teams, and people trying like crazy to win games. And it's meaningful to the fans. I think one thing that makes the SEC quite more unique in some ways is it's the athletes, the schools are very close together. You know, consider the Pac-12. You know, think about Washington State clear down to Tucson. Okay,
a long way.
I mean, it's about the same distance as it is from here. You know, but the schools are close together. So, and then the players, you know, that is such a football rich region. And the players tend to be nearby, you know, a high percentage of them. But then the fans, it's pretty easy to engage in the games and literally drive to the games. Anytime your team's playing, drive to the game, even if you just want to enjoy the tailgate experience or whatever. And then you'll run across fans here that know fan, you know, have friends at each team. When they go on the road, they go spend time with the fans of that team who they've met at some other point in time. Then when those guys go to Mississippi State, then of course they vice versa type of deal. So I think it's it's passionate because people are closer together and it's more easily shared. You know, I mean, it's easy to come and go for the fans, and then they share it with one another.
You've coached at a lot of places and you've been an assistant at some of the highest caliber places in the country. Is it, do you sense it, is coaching, whether it's Pac-12, Big 12, here, elsewhere?
Oh, I think so. And I think you can even, in most cases, go, whether it's high school or the NFL, you know. So.
In terms of what's ahead, season, obviously, I do want to get a couple of thoughts on that. Sometimes I forget that you're a football coach because we get into these almost extraterrestrial conversations, but how do you feel about your second season?
Looking forward to it. I mean, you know, the most important thing, especially a team like us, you know, we had a new staff and we're an extremely young team. I think we are the youngest team in the BCS. And so, you know, routine is very critical to a team like that. And last year, you know, it was impossible to get into a routine. And then, when we have been able to get into a routine, like in spring ball and this offseason now, you know, these guys have excelled and improved a great deal. And so, you know, I mean, it's refreshing to be able to do that. And it's and we need to keep it that way this season. And, you know, because last year was exciting, but you didn't feel like you had the give and take and the sharing it with the fans and all that other stuff. And it was just a series of interruptions, you know.
Coach, before you go, I do want to talk about all these big picture issues going on in college athletics, because you've been very outspoken in the past about, you know, where we are, you know, where we should go. And I mean, no matter which way you look, there's NIL, there's expansion, there's CFP expansion, there's the blowing up of the NCAA. Where are we, and where can we, or are we going?
I don't know. I don't know. And I'll tell you this. I know a bunch of coaches that drives them crazy. It doesn't appeal to me, but it drives them crazy. And when I was younger, earlier in my career, it would have driven me more crazy. You know, get the memos, make some phone calls. What are they going to do? Is it this way or is it that way? Is it maybe this? Is it maybe that? Oh, there's a committee, you know. And so I've gotten to the point where I wait for the dust to settle and figure out where it's at, and then we adjust, you know. So I think, but there's going to be a lot to adjust to, you know, because I think the worst thing that college football could do is put themselves in a bidding war, you know, where all of a sudden it becomes a big bidding war as far as players. The name, image, and likeness thing, I think, is is fine. But the thing, you know, I think there's some players out there that, you know, think they hit the lottery, and there's only a few on each team that actually hit any lottery, you know. And then the other thing is I think that, you know, and this is kind of the fun part of professional, being a professional. Well, the other thing professionals do is they get drafted. They don't get recruited, they get drafted. The other thing they do is they get cut. The other thing they do is they get traded. And I mean, they do this in baseball all the time. You know, I mean, you know, the parents, you know, drop their son off and, you know, here's a TV to, or something like that for your dorm room and your school clothes. And then as they're getting out of the car, some guy, you know, comes out and meets them as they're getting ready to go in the dorm and says, hey, got some bad news. You've been traded. They need you out there on the West Coast in 2 days. And, oh, by the way, I need this room by tomorrow. and that happens in baseball, of course. And then so I think that I don't know that any of these things will happen. But as long as we're going down this professional path, there's more that happens with professionals than they just get paid for sponsorships. And then the other thing that I've thought, and me and a friend were talking about this, and, you know, this isn't a perfect idea, but food for thought. And I don't know the perfect amount, but say each guy that signs, if he graduates, he gets $150,000. So if you stay at a school and play through your career and you graduate, you get $150,000. And what it does is it incentivizes graduation and staying at the school, not transferring. Because if you transfer, you don't get your $150,000. Now, if you graduate, you can transfer anywhere you want. You still get your $150,000, okay? But, you know, one thing that's false is everybody says, yeah, there's a lot of this, football players don't care about graduation. Almost every one of them I've coached do. Not all, but most of them I coach do. And even if they, you know, weren't great in the classroom, some of them the first in their family to graduate, makes everybody incredibly proud. And then the other thing, Commissioner Sankey said, and I haven't done the numbers, but 1,100 players still not picked up off the portal. I'll bet you those guys wish they'd rethought that decision. Now, if they stayed there to graduate for $150,000, they probably would have stuck it out, you know, and in a lot of cases. Sometimes the transfer is good. Sometimes it's beneficial. Sometimes it's what needs to happen, you know. But I think, you know, when I was 18, heck, I was tempted to cut and run a lot. And, you know, but then in hindsight, stuff you persevere through, adversity you push through, is beneficial in the long run. And I think that that needs to be encouraged as well. You know, just one thought on it, you know, and then all of a sudden the quarterback's not the only guy getting money. You know, the second team guard, he gets his 152 if he graduates.
Coach, thanks for dropping by. We started talking to you about a trip to Key West, and COVID happened, and we get reunited here. I hope to see you very soon.
Well, that sounds good. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you very much. Coach Mike Leach, nice enough to drop by on what has been a very busy, expected, but busy afternoon here in Hoover, Alabama. We'll take a break. Much more to come in the final hour and 15 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back at SEC Media Days. Brooks Cabina talking about the statement from the University of Texas. Not a lot of news there. Speculation always swirls around college athletics. Now, come on. You can expect this. Oklahoma OSU won. Nobody's going to say anything. But tomorrow will dawn a new day, and the for the record, the Commissioner Sankey has been doing some interviews today. We will talk to him tomorrow, maybe when this thing settles down. And he has simply said, I am not going to comment on stories involving anonymous sources. So he has been very Sherman-esque. He's not going any farther on the story. Let's get some reaction. We have not had a chance to talk to callers. And Tennyson is in Texas. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great.
Wonderful. So I was going to want to talk to you about how Coach Fisher did the media days. I thought he did phenomenal, and I'm super excited about my senior year. But then, of course, you know, this article out of the Houston Chronicle happened. And I got to tell you, a lot of A&M fans, if this is true, and I got to be honest with you, I don't think it is. I think this is just it's the off season and somebody's looking for a story. Somebody's looking for a reaction. A lot of A&M fans don't want this to happen because we still have a pretty bad taste in our mouth about what happened when we left in 2012. And it's kind of ironic now to think that Texas would want to join the SEC now.
Yeah, I will say, you know, Tennyson, part of the reason you've never thought Texas would go anywhere was because they had their own network, which helped lead to the Aggies leaving the Big 12. They, you know, Missouri yep. as well. Nebraska didn't like them back in the day. Nobody liked them. And, you know, they lived in a world of their own. And it's just almost whenever it came up, people said there's no way Texas would ever get out. But that was some time ago, though. Texas has just not succeeded. And you have to wonder if Texas didn't go to school on A&M. And as you know, Del Conte is now the athletic director. He's a very progressive thinking guy. Sark is the coach. He's got strong SEC ties. And you know, Oklahoma has always wanted to get in the SEC. I've said that countless times on this program. And there was movement back 10 years ago, and there was some whispering a couple of years ago. But they always had a problem that, you know, they couldn't bring Oklahoma State along because, let's be honest, nobody wants Oklahoma State. And so you're stuck. So their drafting partner has always been the University of Texas. And as much as they may yep. dislike each other, they're joined at the hip.
I was going to comment on that. Do you remember when OU tried to also go out west in the Pac-12, and they didn't do it specifically because Texas did not want them to do it?
Well, yeah. Texas, the reason Texas wanted to make that move as well for a specific reason, that they wanted to be associated with Stanford and Cal and UCLA, and I mean, they felt like they were at a higher level. So that thing almost happened. It came very close. And you know, when it didn't, you know, it gave A&M the entree. A&M stuck around. A&M almost left for the SEC the previous year, and then they held firm, and then they decided to get out.
And it served us very well, and I hope that this – I know it's all about money. It's all about, what's going to be the best for TV.
Let me say this. Thanks for the call. We have to go to a break, but here, if you're the SEC commissioner and you find out OU and Texas are shopping for a league, you better talk to them, whether you want them or not, because they are going somewhere. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.